This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I wanted to ask you something here about Peniston particularly. So they subject him to truth serum and hypnosis. I assume that any exaggerations that he engaged in describing the encounter to the public, they would have known, so he didn't do it when he talked to the authorities.
Well, the exaggerations, I mean, okay. The first time he ever said, you know, we saw the UFO take off was in 2007. That's the first time we hear this from Peniston and describes a takeoff and so on. That was at the National Press Club in Washington at a special meeting, which is called Hear Him Talk. Now, okay, if we go back to 27 years earlier, I don't know what he told. I don't know what he told the OSI people. I don't know what he said he saw. This is presumably what they got out of him. And if he's taking truth serum, he may have said something completely different. So really, I don't know that. But certainly, I cover this in the book, and then the interrogations are covered by Nick Pope in his book, Encounter in Rendlesham Forest. So we don't really know, but going forward all these years, he has some sketches he made. If you remember, he took photographs of this object in the forest, and the photographs were said to have been all of them completely overexposed, so nothing showed. And whether they were or not, he never saw the photographs back. He never got any photographs back. So he made sketches. Burroughs made a sketch too, funny enough, from memory later, for what he saw through the trees. Now, Peniston draws rather better. And by the time we see a sketch made by Peniston, he made it in his police notebook, and he said he did this, 24 hours after the event. And we now have what is usually served up in books which favor this as being an extraterrestrial craft. It looks like some little stubby winged, it has wings now, and it's roughly triangular in shape, still the same size, and instead of sitting bolt upright as the cone in the forest clearing, it's now shown as sort of being turned an angle, as if it could take off and fly up into the air. So I have, you know, his sketch is in my book, and also on the cover of my book, I have what I believe they actually saw, although they wouldn't necessarily know that. So just to go from there is one thing we only heard about very much later, long after this all happened, was that there was a forester, one of the Rendlesham foresters, whose job was in the forest, who had a house at the end of the RAF Woodbridge runway. And literally, just a few hours, two or three hours before this episode, which the forester didn't know about until much later, he said he saw a helicopter carrying, slung underneath it, a large triangular object, and it was flying east in the direction of where the UFO landing site was. Now, the forester was interviewed, and some of his sighting, he was there with his wife, And he said, you know, late on Christmas Day, 1980, he saw this coming out of Woodbridge. Now, there was meant to be no flying. All flying had been cancelled at that time at Woodbridge. And some people said, oh, well, this story is simply untrue. But I've been to Woodbridge. I talked to people. I've talked to the man called Graham Haynes, who is the director of the Bent Waters Cold War Museum. And he said, yeah, this story is true. And it's quite obvious what the triangular object must have been. It was very likely the craft, which was in the forest. And it was slung underneath it. You know, you sling things underneath a helicopter on cables, especially big, heavy objects. And I suggest the helicopter put this down in the forest for a reason. And we get to that in my book. That's explained in quite a lot of detail, and also the history of this particular object, which, to my amazement, when I first heard about this, was an Apollo command module. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the Apollo lunar program, the Apollo lunar mission, which NASA conducted to land a man on the moon in 1969. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Well, and by the time that that this all happened, the Apollo missions had been discontinued.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. The Apollo missions, Armstrong and Aldrin landed on the moon in July of 1969. And there were several more, I think, another four moon landings. There was Apollo 14, which didn't make it, but luckily returned to Earth. And the reason that there was an Apollo CM, command module, at RAF Woodbridge was that the squadron, which was based at RAF Woodbridge, was the 67th Air Rescue and Recovery Squadron. And they were tasked with possible recovery of any real Apollo command module, which came back and splashed down after going to the moon and came back down in the wrong place. So they were all prepared to go and fish such a command module with its three occupants out of the ocean, if that ever occurred. Well, it didn't occur, but there were various other bases, U.S. bases around the world. There's one in Japan where they were all prepared to do this. In order to get the helicopter crews sort of trained to do such a rescue, if that ever happened in their part of the world, was they had what were called boilerplate command modules, which they practiced with. You know, they took them up underneath a helicopter. They put them in the sea. They then recovered them from the sea. And they also did the sort of training, how to, you know, they went through such things as how to open the hatch, how to get astronauts out, if that should ever occur. And they had one of these boilerplate command modules at RAF Woodbridge from the late 60s right through to the end of the Apollo program, which the final Apollo mission to the moon was in 1972. And after that, it wasn't going to be needed. So it was apparently shipped back to America. Now, I did a lot of research to find out what had become of this particular Apollo command module, the boilerplate one.
We have a lot more to cover here about the Rendlesham Forest UFO, and I want you to continue to explain that. Plus, we have 20,000 questions to ask of you as we continue with George and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
George, we, of course, obviously have to interrupt you every so often for a piece of business.
That's okay.
Sure, let's continue.
Yeah. Okay, so this Apollo Command module had been shipped back to America in late 1977. And there was, obviously, there was no further need for it at Woodbridge. And they thought they'd send it back. These things, they make quite a lot of these boilerplate modules, not the real thing, but an exact replica in size and shape and weight. And they end up in all sorts of places. There's at least one, maybe two, at the Kennedy Space Center. I've seen it and photographed it there. There's one which, for some unknown reason, sits outside a Dairy Queen somewhere in Pennsylvania. I don't know how the Dairy Queen managed to get it. And there's one which got lost in the ocean and was taken off by the Russians. Eventually presented, during the height of the Cold War, funnily enough, back to some U.S. ship, which happened to be hanging around in, I don't know, Archangel or somewhere up that way. They went and collected the Apollo command module, which the Russians had found, and had a great ceremony. But that's by and by. And I really knew nothing of this. And I don't think any of the other UFO or people who are investigating the Russian forest business had any conception that there was some involvement of this kind. Certainly not back then in the 1980s. But the fact of the matter was that although it had been shipped back to America in 1977, this very same Apollo command module reappeared on the Woodbridge base at pretty well the same time as the Rensselaer Forest incident. People didn't think anything of it because it had been sort of visible on the base years before, and maybe it had been out of sight for 3 years. It just seemed to have popped up again, and not many people made any connection with the fact that this could very easily have been the object which Peniston and Burroughs found in the forest.
Okay, so let's take this then to the next step. If this duplicate of the command module was being used for something, what was it being used for? And you referred to it as, was it Operation Honey Badger?
That is indeed what I believe it was used for, and I'll describe how we get there. I don't know if you have a memory of the year 1980, and the year 1980 and the end of 1979 was when the Shah of Iran had been overthrown. The Ayatollah Khomeini came to power in Tehran, and some revolutionary Islamic students took over the U.S. embassy and held 52 Americans hostage. And they held them hostage for... In the end, they were hostage for 444 days. And, of course, people in Britain who, looking at Rendlesham, probably wouldn't make any connection at all with what was going on in right through 1980 with the Rendlesham Forest incident. But the fact of the matter is that poor old Jimmy Carter, he was a good sort, and his presidency was completely blighted by this hostage crisis, and all people thought about in this country, speaking as I am from inside the U.S., all they thought about was we must have to get our hostages back. Something must be done. These poor people are being held, imprisoned by the Iranians, and we have to get them back. Well, the Iranians wanted an awful lot in return to get them back, and they didn't want just billions. They wanted the Shah sent back to be tried in Tehran, and they also wanted the supposed billions which the Shah had and apparently taken out of the country. They wanted all that back as well. So they said, "You're not getting your hostages back until you come up with what we want." And this went on right through 1980. So the U.S. military were tasked by Jimmy Carter to make a rescue operation, you know, and this had to be something pretty good because it would involve an awful lot of getting into Iran, getting the hostages out alive, and they devised something called Operation Eagle Claw, which involved quite a number of big transport planes, C-130s, and also helicopters, big helicopters. And the plan was to rendezvous in the Iranian desert at some place which is about 100 miles from Tehran, and then in conjunction with CIA agents who are already in Iran to go into the city center, which and the U.S. embassy, which is where the hostages are being held, and bring a lot of special operations men who would rescue hostages. Well, this didn't work. The whole thing was a disaster, and eight U.S. servicemen, Air Force men, were killed when two of the planes out in the desert, a special position called Desert One, collided. This was mainly due to the fact that there was a sandstorm, which meant that some of the aircraft became unserviceable, some had turned back, one aircraft collided with another, and the whole operation had to be called off. This was extremely unfortunate. This happened in April of 1980. And what a lot of people don't realize because it was totally secret, is that after that appalling failure to go through with it, to get this plan to work, to rescue the hostages, another secret operation to do it and get it right this time was set up. It was called Project Honey Badger.
Before we continue with Project Honey Badger and what it means with George, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update, and they say it never rains in Southern California.
There is a blizzard warning still in effect for Southern California, which is shocking to many longtime residents.
I've lived in Los Angeles my whole life, and I haven't seen any snow since the late 50s when I was a kid.
Heavy snow and gusty winds can be expected in the Ventura and Los Angeles County mountains. This on the heels of Friday's torrential rains and flooding.
We were just driving, and then it was like a traffic jam here around, and we're just driving, and the car stopped. It doesn't work.
That audio courtesy of KTLA. Up to a foot of snow could fall at elevations as low as 2,000 feet. I'm John Schaefer.
Residents of East Palestine, Ohio, getting support from government officials to clean up that toxic mess after that train derailment. Corey Myers, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So we're continuing now with our discussion, Project Honey Badger. George, tell us more about it.
Okay, so if you're tasked with a new project to free these hostages, you've got to have some pretty smart techniques to deceive the guards, people are guarding the hostages, and also various methods of distracting the hostage takers, so that their attention is in this direction, whereas your special forces men go in, having descended from helicopters, on the other side, and free up the hostages, get them all out without any casualties or with as few casualties as possible, get them into helicopters or transport aircraft, and take them away. And that's not a very easy task. And the hostages were, in theory, towards the end of 1980. They were being held in a large mansion on the outskirts of Tehran, with the city on one side, but, you know, in a thinly populated area, which had just desert and scrub beyond. And I think that the people in the Pentagon who were trying to figure out various methods of enticing or luring the head man, the head hostage taker, whoever that was on duty, out and away from the house to deal with, you know, something which they would put down. And I suggest that they were going to use something like the Apollo command module, you know, they were no longer needed, with what I call a directed energy weapon in it. This thing would be put down in the desert from a helicopter, from a big helicopter, say 1 mile from the mansion where the hostages are being held. And in the middle of the night, the guards would look out and they'd see a blinking light out there, and They think, what's this? Is someone come to take our hostages? Or what is it? Is this some sort of a plot by the Americans? They probably think that to start with. And after time, hopefully, the head guard and some of his men will go out there. They'd probably take guns, and they'd probably be extremely wary of what they were going to meet. And I suggest this this Apollo command capsule had just that. It was sort of thing which they were going to use, and use a directed energy weapon attached to it to zap whoever came out to look and see what was going on. And obviously, if they're going to use this, this is just one. I suggest this is just one of what I call Trojan horse weapons. Trojan horse weapons is my acronym, THW, what I call weapons of deception. And you use them in warfare to misdirect the enemy, to deceive the enemy, to distract them in the wrong direction. And I think that this Apollo CM with a directed energy weapon attached to it was one of the things they thought of as what we're going to need. And I think another one was, I don't know if you expected this, was the Cashlandrum object. And Cashlandrum object, we all know about, was the UFO, was described as a UFO, which Betty Cash and Vicky Landrum, plus young Colby Landrum, encountered some, I don't know, 45 miles out of Houston in a wooded area one night, just 3 days later, I think, than all these goings-on back in England. I think it's all part of the same project. And what I suggest is the Cashlandrum object, the UFO, which injured Betty Cash and Vicky Landrum to some extent, was another object meant to distract the enemy. And what I think this was, and what I suggest it was a hot air balloon, especially a customized hot air balloon, which shot out, besides the burners sending hot air up into the envelope of the balloon, it had downward pointing burners as well, which gave it a fearsome appearance. And if you flew it along at, you know, a fairly low level, the guards who were guarding the hostages and the other military who might be in the facility would come out and chase that as it drifted across. This, I'm pretty certain, the Cashlandrum object was another part of Project Honey Badger.
Let me ask you a question here about Cashlandrum, because we've talked about that case too, and you make a very sensible point there of the similarities, and that is, were they just in the wrong place at the wrong time for this to have happened? I mean, you can understand maybe soldiers being tested, but not private citizens.
No, I don't think there was any intention of testing private citizens. What I think is that that balloon, it was an unmanned hot air balloon being controlled. If you remember, the Cashlandrum case, a large number of military helicopters which were flying along close to the balloon, and I believe the balloon, which was unmanned, was being controlled radio signals from one of those helicopters. And the thing about that is what you really have to control is for it to going up and going down. And if you have some kind of a remote control which controls the balloon's burners, you can, in theory, you can make it go up when you want, slowly, and you can bring it down by turning the burners down remotely. And I think that the people who were controlling the balloon found that they great difficulty in making it do what they wanted. And I think it descended pretty well onto the road, which happened. It was just a, you know, a small country road through the forest out there in Texas, near Dayton, Texas, where the unfortunate Landrums and Betty Cash happened to be driving along on their way back from, I think they'd been out to dinner. And they found this balloon effectively blocking the road. And it was a very narrow road. And rather than turning around and departing, they drove pretty well up to it. Now, the balloon wasn't quite down on the road. I think it was still maybe 10 or 20 feet up in the air. But Betty Cash got out of the car, and these burners, the downward-pointing burners on the balloon, I think, were what caused the terrible heat stroke which she suffered from. She lost skin, she lost a lot of hair. I don't think there's any reason to think that this was ionizing radiation, as you would get from some atomic weapon or something, which has been popularized as being the cause for injuries. I think it was just plain heat and getting too near plain heat. I mean, you get the same sort of thing if you stand near a furnace and you don't move away.
Let's continue with this. I want to ask more about Cash Landrum in our next segment, George. Uh-huh. We'll continue with George, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Pedicast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks Folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Cash Landrum was certainly an interesting case. I was wondering, George, you'd think if this is being followed by aircraft and they're aware of where this device, this balloon, had landed, wouldn't they be aware of the fact that some innocent civilians maybe gotten too close to it and could have been hurt, and maybe they would do something about it?
Well, one would have thought so. One would have thought you ought to test such a thing over a totally uninhabited area like, you know, the desert in New Mexico or somewhere. But I think in order to do the testing, they wanted to try and make it similar situation to what they would be doing in Iran, if they had to do this in Iran. And so I think that the helicopters may well have been started off from a carrier, a U.S. carrier in the Gulf of Mexico, and they may have said, we're going to fly in over the coast, and then we're going to come to some pretty deserted area, and we're going to start this balloon going. Now, whether they had to land somewhere and get the balloon up in the air, I don't know. It does seem curious, I must say, that this happened in Texas, which, okay, a lot of open areas, but I'd have thought they'd have been more careful than that. But I think the basic fact of the matter is they couldn't control it very well. It came down. It wasn't meant to come down. It did go up again, according to Betty Cash and Vicki Landrum. It went up into the sky again and then vanished wherever. One unfortunate thing about this is that we don't have any other witnesses apart from the two Landrums and Betty Cash who actually saw this. So there was, I think, some police officer or someone quite near there who said he saw a whole lot of helicopters on that night, including several Chinooks, those are the twin tandem rotor helicopters. And that's what Betty Cash said as well. She said there were something like six or seven of those. Now, if you were doing some hostage rescue operation, you'd probably have several big helicopters. But to let your flaming balloon come down on a road, even if you are out in the wilds, in the boonies, it does seem a little bit careless.
You know, though, if this was something that had been developed to act as, say, a distraction, then the occupants of the car proved that it worked, because rather than turning around and running away as quickly as they can, no, they stopped and got out to look at it. So yeah, it was successful, you know, for what it was, you know, if your scenario is true, it's successful for what it was developed for.
Well, that's true. But then both these things, I think both these Trojan horse weapons, which is what I call them, never had to be used for real. It never had to be used in anger, because eventually the hostages got released on the very day that Ronald Reagan came into office, which is January 20th of 1981, and all sorts of negotiations have been going on, quite apart from Project Honey, Honey Badger, which was totally one-sided.
You know, that was an interesting conspiracy theory, too, claiming that Reagan's people got involved, which is technically not legal, in negotiations, diplomatic negotiations, and held off the settlement until Reagan was elected. And otherwise, had this not happened, it's possible Jimmy Carter would have been president for another term.
Well, the fact is that, the election would have been in November. Now, that is before Cash Landrum, the Cash Landrum thing, and it's before, in November of 1980, Reagan was elected, and I think people had sort of given up on Jimmy Carter, nice guy that he was. And, of course, there are all these conspiracy theories that Reagan's people said, don't release the hostages until Carter's out of the way. I don't know. That's not proved. And also, people say that, how did Reagan's people manage to negotiate the release of the hostages? They must have ponied up quite a lot of money, maybe several billion in order to get that to happen. So we simply don't know what the truth of the matter was. Maybe it was a coincidence.
Well, the truth of the matter here, as far as we're concerned, is the Cash Landrum case. We have innocent civilians being injured by this object. Now, the government didn't do anything to help them, did they?
Well, no. Betty Cash and Vicki Landrum brought a case against the government, and they got Peter Gerstein, I think it is, from KAUS, Citizens Against UFO Secrecy, who is a lawyer, to bring this case. And I think they were asking for $20 million, something like that, from the U.S. government. And the case was rejected because the judge said, well, you haven't proved your case because we can't prove these helicopters. The 23 helicopters you saw belong to the U.S. government. They didn't belong to the U.S. Air Force, which is what you maintain, and they didn't belong to the Army. And we have no account for all these helicopters. So whoever did it, it's not our concern, sorry. And so the women didn't get any money at all. And both of them are now dead. And one of the people involved, here's another interesting angle, one of the people involved in the case on the government side, giving evidence to the government, I think was John Alexander, who, as you know, has considerable UFO connections and secret military connections, and was the, and if you remember the men who stare at goats, that was John Alexander. Not to mention Albert Stubblebine and various other characters. So that is interesting, and I do actually put in the book that John Alexander was the one who, as regards the Cash Landrum affair, he went and asked a man called Saran, who was a good friend of his, who's a senior military man, can you go around and find out who these helicopters belong to? So Saran did that, and he asked this unit and that unit and the Marines and came back and said, well, they all say, not ours. Don't know who they belong to, but not ours. And that's another interesting angle on it. I think, you know, the man who was asking whose helicopters are these, like he was lied to by some part of the U.S. military who just plain lied to him, said, okay, must be someone else. Definitely nothing to do with us.
They didn't care about innocent civilians being injured. Seriously injured. Didn't matter to them, whatever, unless those citizens could prove it. Sure.
Yeah. Kurt Collins, I think, has done quite a lot on the Cash Landrum case. Now, I don't know if Kurt Collins thinks of that object, the UFO, was a bona fide extraterrestrial UFO, or whether he thinks it was a secret military thing for whatever purpose.
I don't see Kurt as the kind of guy who comes out with final decisions on anything. He did an extensive research into this, and he's been a frequent guest on the PowerCast. He's one of our guest co-hosts. And I would like to bring him on if we were going to do Cash Landrum again and have him talk with you. But I always personally felt very logical that that was, because it's so different from the normal UFO case, it might have been a government experiment, test aircraft of some kind, and certainly tying Rendlesham in with it makes a lot of sense. If this makes sense, too, we'll hear more with George and Gene and Tim. You're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.